of the Lord this morning. How you doing? Good, good. I can't hear y'all out there. I can hear a few people in here. How are you doing? Okay, while you're getting settled, while you're getting your coffee, while you're opening both eyes, hopefully you've already been worshiping because we are in worship. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So while you're working, sing a song with me. I really love the Lord. Sing it with me. I really love the. Do you love God? Oh, and you don't know what He's done
for me.
Oh, yes, He gave me the victory, and that's why I love. Yes, I love Him. I really love the. You know who watches over you? Will and He watches over me. Oh, will He watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't know what He's done. Yes. Oh, yes, He gave me the victory. And that's why I love the Lord. I love Him. One more time. Really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't know what He's done. Yes. Oh, yes, He gave me the victory. And that's why I love, yes, I love Him. I really love Him. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. Now, good morning again. And welcome to the worship services for the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. It is good to see everyone, to hear everyone. Thank God for you wherever you are, here in Houston, out of state, out of the city, out of the country. Just welcome and just thank God for this day that He's blessed us to see. I'm Brother Gary Smith, and thank the brothers for leading us in prayer and scripture, or scripture reading and in song. Brother Barry, thank you, thank you. Hopefully you were singing as Brother Barry, especially those of you, the members of the church, so some of you know the words. You know, this is not the entertainment show. we're not here to entertain. We're here to worship God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I started a lesson series a few weeks ago, and I'm diving right in so I can finish on time, entitled The Essentials Series. The Essentials. Essential meaning absolutely necessary. The beginning of most years since I've been preaching, the pulpit preacher here, I try to deliver foundational I don't call them elementary sermons, but foundational sermons that will help the church to not lose our identity, to remind us of who we are and why we do, why we worship the way we do, why we teach the things that we do. And because I just never want it to happen on our watch as trying to preach and teach the word that the people of God don't know what God expects of them. And although these lessons cannot be totally inclusive of everything that the Bible teaches, there are some foundational facts that are absolutely necessary. They are essential. And that's what we're kind of focusing on. The first lesson was according to the scriptures, according to the scriptures. And we know the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy that all scripture is inspired by God, all scripture. And we don't want to repeat the lesson, but that lesson focused on the volumes of physical evidence that we have that solidify the scriptures. The volume, the massive volume of manuscripts, handwritten copies, the archaeological discoveries that attest to the truthfulness of the scriptures, and even the fulfilled prophecies of the Bible, of scriptures, especially Old Testament scriptures, the fulfilled prophecies down to the painstaking details. I didn't have time to cover them all. I wish I could have covered them even more of the fulfilled prophecies in Isaiah chapter 53. We see down to the details that thousands of years before that God inspired the writers to write, he was pierced for our transgressions. Even thousands of years before it happened. That even down to the thirst quenching cocktail that was put together for Jesus to drink, that was mixed with gall, with the vinegar, nasty drink that they tried to make Jesus drink. And so the scriptures are valid according to the scriptures, and that's our foundation. The scriptures are. You don't want Brother Gary's opinion, and I don't want your opinion. Amen. Somebody. I don't want the barbershop's opinion. I don't need nobody else's opinion, but the scriptures. Amen. Then the next lesson was God alone. God alone. That was on last week. And we just referenced and pointed out the fact that God is the orchestrator of this one plan that he had in his mind even before the world began. According to Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 9, it's his eternal purpose, his plan that he had in his mind that he's carrying out. Much he's already carried out, but it's still being carried out. And he is the only one who's in charge. Amen. God alone. See, these are essential. They are essential. I know there are other teachers that will refute and challenge the validity of the scriptures, even the authority of God. But we're focusing on what we believe are the essentials for us to function and know our purpose and know where we're going and what our destination is. And that's a lot of confusion, especially, it seems like I don't know. There are some things that those of us that are older used to believe and it was just solid as a rock. But now everybody's questioning everything. And I still ask you, well, what's your alternative? Show it to me. Let me see the solid evidence, and then I'll put it right beside the scriptures. And let's compare it. And so that's what we're doing now. And today's lesson is entitled All Authority. All Authority. I could have entitled it other things. I thought about it and thought about entitling it The Last Word. The Last Word. And I say, well, so I'm just mentioning it. I thought about entitling it Simply Jesus. Simply Jesus. Simply Jesus. I hope as a preacher, I hope if I could do an adequate job of trying to convince everybody that I can to fall in love with Jesus. I hope I can do a good job of that. And so all authority. And then we begin today. All right, you all right? I know you got your coffee. You ought to be sitting up, your eyes open, your children, if they're watching or whatever, wipe your eyes out. Let's die. Now, this is, again, I told you, this is not, listen, you not, might not be shouting and jumping up, and but this will give you something. This will give you something. Even if those of you that are ready to challenge, okay, I got a question. That's fine. Write your question down. But it's going to give you something to question, all right? And so we start with this foundational, I call it foundational. Let me call it this transformational passage. In Matthew chapter 28, and I began reading at verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them. This is what Jesus said. All authority. This is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. who would be either bold enough or foolish enough to make such a statement? even some of the tyrants of the world, even some of those who wanted to conquer the known world, they might be bold enough to say, yeah, I want to be king, I want to be ruler of the world. But who would say, I am, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth? Who would say that? Yeah, Jesus said it. He said it. He said it. And so he claims authority. This is at the point after Jesus had been crucified on the cross. And see, that was the nail. That was the final act. Well, excuse me. He was crucified, but he rose again. After he resurrected, this was the final action that would give him all authority. And so don't forget that. Don't forget that. It's essential, because he says, now I have all authority now. Because when he was on earth, he didn't claim all authority. He would perform a miracle and he would say something like, tell no man, because his time had not come yet. It had not arrived yet. But he was authoritative, and yes, no doubt about it. And he says in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And see, it's essential for us to understand who's the boss, who's in charge, who we listen to. Essential. I mean, you know, I was somebody telling you what to do, this and do that, but the final word, the last say, must come from Jesus and his words. And when he was on earth, he tried to get people ready for the kingdom. His message was, repent, for the kingdom is near. Now, we're in the kingdom today. Well, I don't know if everybody's in the kingdom, but the kingdom is here today. And he would get people ready. He'd say things like in Matthew 5, verse 43, listen to this. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That was totally different. It was totally different. Well, and Jesus is talking. He says, you've heard that it's been said. And most of the time when he said that, he was referring to the scribes and Pharisees of his day. They were those who supposedly knew the scriptures. They knew the law. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the teachers. They knew the ordinances. And Jesus said, you've heard that it's been said. But really, he said that because the Pharisees and scribes were saying that, but that's not really what the Bible said. That's not really what was written. Remember, I'm going to keep telling you to go back to according to the scriptures. Now, the Bible really never tells us to hate anybody. The Bible don't teach that. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Jesus said that you've heard that it's been said, because some of the Pharisees and scribes, you know, they would tell people to do things that they wouldn't do, and they would put their traditions on people, but it still wasn't what God. Some of you don't believe me. Go to your Bibles, if you will. Let's study. Go to Exodus chapter 23. But God never told us to hate nobody. And the word hate in the sense in the scriptures, it doesn't mean exactly what it means to us today. We say hate, and that's just hate somebody. It means it means to love less. But listen to Exodus chapter 23, verse 4. If you encounter your enemy, this is the law. If you encounter your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, you must return to him. Return it to him. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you should not leave it helpless for its owner. You must arrange the load with him. See, the Old Testament covenant, he said, if you see your enemy's ox, don't take it back to him. He says, if you see a donkey, a person that hates you, don't hate him back. Don't kill his donkey. Don't say, I'm not going to do God. Even in the Old Testament, listen to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21. Proverbs 25, verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him water to drink. Oh, you got to know what Jesus was doing when he said this. Transformational teaching. And Jesus says, you've heard that it's been said. See, what he was pointing out the inadequacies of those who would teach something and wouldn't be willing to do. You know that because go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, I read to you what he said in Matthew 5, 43, but he was referencing the scribes and Pharisees. He says in Matthew 5, verse 20, for I say to you, unless your righteousness far surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. old. Jesus, it's essential for us to know under the new law, under the new covenant, under Jesus' authority, under Jesus' teaching, he is trying to penetrate our, not this heart, but our hearts. It's not about just going around doing deeds. And he says, listen, these Pharisees are telling you to do something, and their heart is far from me. He says, and the kingdom, and kingdom living, I'm trying to lift us up. Oh, it's essential. That's why we shouldn't be around here trying to judge nobody. Yeah, I'm trying to judge anybody. And boy, this is some new teaching. But the Pharisees said a whole lot of things that Jesus knew what the real problem was. He says, all authority. He says, I'm getting to the root of the problem. Listen to Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. We're talking about all authority. See, I'm going to ask you, when I close this lesson, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to Jesus' teaching, to his authority. But I want to point out that Jesus is, he knows our minds. He's speaking as one who has all the authority. And the question is, are we willing to listen to Jesus? Yeah, that's the question. In Matthew 23, verse 1, then Jesus spoke. I don't have time to teach all this. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples. They hadn't heard this one. This is what Jesus says. The scribes and Pharisees, and they were his greatest opponent. You know, they was his. You would think they were the religious leaders, but they were Jesus' greatest opponent. Is it that way? You see, our greatest opponent is going to be the person that has the most to lose by the way we live, what we teach. That's going to be on your job. You know who your greatest opponent is on your job? Sometimes a person that would identify themselves as your enemy is the person that feels threatened by you. She's going to make me look bad. He's going to make me lose my job. She's going to get my job. And often that's our greatest. Shouldn't we be happy that somebody else is happy? Shouldn't we want other folk to excel? If somebody's doing good, why would we want that person to? Jesus is going around and he says this. He says, the Pharisees and scribes have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. They want the attention. They want the attention. They want Moses' seat. Now, the cameraman can't show you. Like, Barry is sitting over here. In the seat on the stage, we got two seats on the stage. They're there for us to have orderly service, but Moses' seat would be in the middle. It would be up. That's where people would put it. That's the reason why. Now this is just me. It's nothing. That's the one of the reasons why. Even when I come in worship service, that's one of the reasons why I don't go up there and sit up there. I just know, sit up there. See, Barry got to sit up there. He lead singing. We go, and nobody thinking nothing of Barry. But see, I don't sit up there because I don't want nobody thinking that I'm more than I am. Yeah. And so Jesus, he said, look, he says, therefore, whatever they tell you, do and comply. Jesus never teaches for us to disobey the law. Even the covenant. They were under the old covenant. He says, the covenant is good. It wasn't that, even under the old law, there were a lot of laws. It wasn't that they were bad. It's just that the people couldn't keep them. And he says, now you do what they say, because they know that. Now you know some folk today who know the Bible, amen. They'll tell you, man, I'll quote you scriptures and tell you what you need to be given and tell you what you need to be doing. The question is, are you doing it yourself? Jesus said, do and comply with it all, but do not do as they do. Yeah, brothers, this is to those who would want to, who would desire to be leaders. I be careful. I'm careful in the way I use the word leaders. Be efficient. See, even when the scriptures uses titles, it's not to glorify the person. It's just identifying an office. You see, don't even desire Don't want to be put up front if you're not willing to live the life. Not that you're going to be absolutely perfect, but just to have your name in the bulletin to say, I'm a deacon and I'm an elder and I'm an evangelist and I'm a ministry lead, just to say, ooh, I want my name. Oh, that's not good enough. Oh, my goodness. Just stay right where you are. You might get to heaven if you say. He says this. He says, do not do what they do, for they say things and do not do them. And they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as their finger. Jesus is revealing, he's exposing hypocrisy in the kingdom, this new teaching. See, the Pharisees and scribes would come to the synagogue and they would unwrap the scroll and read all the passages and tell the people, thou shalt not and thou shalt not. And they were so pious and everybody said, oh, they know the word, they know the scriptures. And they would read all of these scriptures to the people and put these heavy burdens on folk. But they were not willing to live it themselves. Then he goes on to say, notice the teaching. He says, and they do all their deeds to be noticed by other people. For they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garment. Phylactery would be the container that held the scrolls, their Bible of that day. He said they make them extra big so people know there he is. There's the holy man. There's the holy. Oh, look at, oh yeah, he's holy. In our day, I imagine it would be me. Some of us. I'm not knocking anybody. Just making a point. Don't get mad if it's up the street. Some of you ever seen the guy walking down the street? He got a chain, big old chain on it. Got a big cross that big. I'm not saying there's necessarily anything wrong with wearing a cross, but be careful when you're wearing the cross. You know. Yeah, you make sure that cross represents. I was watching. Well, I guess I shouldn't say. Let me move on. But and they love the place of honor at marketplaces, and being called rabbi by the people. Verse 8. Listen, rabbi. But as for you, notice the transformation of teaching. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He says, and teach and observe everything I command you. The question is, will we listen to Jesus? That I'm commanding you. This is what you listen to. He says in verse 8, but as for you, do not be called rabbi. Now, is that hard to interpret? See, you know what I'm saying? But you know, the Bible is everybody interpret it different. Well, how you interpret that one? I'm just asking a question. He says, don't be called. See, he uses the word rabbi. It's a title. Notice, even in your scripture, it has a capital R on it. And it will be master. He says, for one is your teacher. Now, that's also capitalized. It should be in the text. In the original, it would be capitalized. It's not, see, we all should be teachers, but you are the teacher. He says, and you, he says, now, this is what I want you to be. This is what I want you, sister. He said, and you all are brothers and sisters. See, Jesus, isn't it transformational? Isn't that different? Even the world today, we have individuals who set themselves up in Moses' seat. They're not saying they're doing it, but they're acting like it. Yeah, I don't need nothing drawing no more attention to me. But suppose I came in there. Well you know, I don't need anything drawing no attention to me. Amen, somebody. I come in here and I distinguish myself from everybody. And under the old covenant, the priest was distinguished. He wore the garments of the priest. God ordained that. Notice this. But now we are not under the old covenant law. Jesus says, now all authority is. He says, now I'm telling you something. I don't want you acting like those scribes and Pharisees. I don't need you sitting in Moses' seat. I don't need you binding laws on them. He says, now everybody is a brother and a sister. Amen, somebody. Somebody need to hear that. Even in the Church of Christ, people, our members need to hear that. You start praying, oh, that's just a minor detail. I got a question. Who said it? If Jesus said it, somebody. I told you, I'm asking it too early. He said, notice this. He didn't say, don't you call nobody that. He says, do not be. See, sometimes we're getting, some people are going to use that terminology. Well, respectfully, kindly. See, some people, they want to refer to me, especially, I'm going different places, even in the Lord's church. They refer to me, Reverend Smith. I'm not Reverend Smith. No, I'm not. No. Oh, but what's wrong with that? This is what's wrong with it. Right here, Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus says, Gary, don't be called that. And really, there's no more respectful and loving term than to be called brothers and sisters in Christ. I know somebody might have turned me off on this one. They might have clicked to another sermon. Another worship service on this one. And see, so first he says, do not be called that. And that's to me. And when he says, do not be called, that would be to the person who wants to be in that authoritative position, who wants to be called out, wants to be set aside. Let me put one in for the Church of Christ. A trend that's disturbing to me. And I just need somebody to help me understand it. I have some brothers that I really respect. Brothers that I really respect that I don't understand it. We have a number of doctors in the church now. Doctors in theology. And I know the effort. I have my master's. I've been called on. I've been encouraged to go ahead and get my doctorate degree. And I knew it was hard enough me getting my master's degree. And I'm saying, I just want to work for the Lord. And I certainly don't just need the title. Amen, somebody. Now, I do respect. I know there are doctors and physicians. There are doctors in education. I have no problem. I'm talking about what Jesus is talking about. And in the church, what is the difference? Somebody help me, please help me. Text me, email. What would be the difference in being called doctor or reverend? Because I don't see in scripture. I don't want to be emotional. I want to be scriptural when I present this because I need somebody to help me with this. See, he says. First of all, he says, don't you call anybody these titles. Then he says in verse 9, and do not call anyone. See, it puts the emphasis on those who maybe are not in those positions, to those that are brothers and sisters. Don't you call, he uses the term, don't you call anyone on your earth your father. And he's not talking about your biological father. The scripture teaches otherwise. Ephesians 6:1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That's your biological father. Even in the text, in the Greek text, he says, for one is your capital F, one is your father, and who we talked about him last week, and that's God and God alone. Nobody else is our father. He says, so don't be, and obviously even in this day, even in Jesus' day, there was some people calling men who they respected. They had to be calling them father because Jesus mentions it. And he says, for you now, in the kingdom now, in my teaching, don't call anybody your father. That's what the scripture teaches. He says, who is in heaven? He says, and do not be called. He says, don't be called leaders. That's why you heard me earlier. I said, be careful how you use the term leaders. It's a small L in the Greek text in here. He says, for one is your capital L, leader. He says, don't refer to yourself. See, because you usurp yourself. You see, that's why Paul, he started off many of his letters, a servant, a slave of God. And it sounds like to me, Jesus wants us to stay, keep our feet on the ground, to stay humble as we can, because you sure not know better than nobody else. Woo, Lord Jesus, help me, Jesus. I'm not going to finish this lesson. I got too much in here. And then he goes on. This is Jesus, this transformation. And now you can see why the leaders were Jesus' biggest enemies. Can't you see it? Because he's saying, he talking about us. He telling folk not to call us. Who he think he is? This is what we do. This is who I am. Oh, Booker, and I feel, you got to understand, it takes all the effort, all the time it took me to get this doctor's degree. Oh, yes, they're going to call me doctor. Be careful, brother. Be careful, sister. Jesus in verse 11, he said, but the greatest of you shall be your servant. Boy, I want to be something. I want to be something in the church. I want to be. First of all, that's a little ambitious. There's nothing wrong with desiring to do things, but I you know what? I want to get to heaven. And sometimes Jesus is trying to help us. The best way to get to heaven is to stay a servant. I'm telling you something. There's some times I wish I wasn't in the limelight. I wish my name wasn't. That's the pulpit. Not that I love preaching. I want to be a servant. I want to use my talent for God. But I wish I wasn't in the limelight sometimes. Just a couple examples. I'm gonna stay with my notes. See, if you look at the apostles, and Jesus, listen to the Bible in Matthew 16:16. For I say unto you that you are Peter. That's what he said. Jesus said you are Peter. And most time in the scripture, they just call them by their first name. He says, on this rock I'll build my church. Then verse Acts 2:14, that Peter preached the first gospel sermon. It says, but Peter. It didn't say, but the apostle Peter. Now, there are places in the Bible where he's identified as an apostle, but I just want you to, I just present to you all these grandiosis titles and to make some person stand out and, oh, yes, and sometimes we give introductions to individuals that's longer than the sermon. I'd be wanting to say, man, we know who he is. Hold it down, my brother. Hold it down, my sister. The elaborate, the efficient, the first lady of the church. I better. Ooh, I'm just. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter. Now notice it says, Peter and apostle of Jesus. See, this how the scripture, even God in his inspirations, he said, it's Peter. He's an apostle like our elders. We have elder shepherds, bishops of the church. We don't have to say, that's Elder Barry Gibson. No, that's Barry Gibson. He is an elder. Amen, somebody. Why is that so important? It's important because Jesus mentioned it. He says, just do what I say do. He has all authority. Listen to this, and I'm going to move on. Acts chapter 14, verse 12. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus. See, this is Barnabas and Paul. They're on the missionary journey. They're teaching and preaching. They're doing the Lord's work. And, you know, and when you're doing the Lord's work, people appreciate it. And folk will try to raise you up. They were performing miracles. They started calling Barnabas Zeus. Zeus was a false god. They started calling and Paul Hermes, since he was the chief speaker. Moreover, the priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifices with the crowd. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard about it, they tore their robes and rushed out in the crowd, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We are also men of the same nature as you. Paul and Barnabas say, look, y'all stop this. No. Are we just like y'all? Ooh, I like that. That's good. I like that. See, some people call, they might call me Pastor Gary and Reverend Gary, but you know, I'm like, okay, sister, I appreciate the respect, but just call me Gary. Or call me Brother Gary. You know, call me Smitty. That's my nickname. That's my buddies, my football buddies. That's, they just call something, you know, they call me Little Smitty. But yeah, you wouldn't be offended. Excuse me? Offended? I'm spending too much time on this. See, Satan, by the way, we're brothers and sisters, but we're also priests. Yeah, we're priests. We all somebody. 1 Peter 2:9, you're chosen. We're a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood. See, somebody, I got to go confess my sins to the priest. Well, when you baptize into Christ, you are a priest. Amen. That's beautiful. I love that. I love Jesus's law. I love the transformation. I love the teaching. I don't have to wait till Friday. I don't have to make an appointment. I don't have to say, is he in there? Can I talk to him? If I'm baptized into Christ, I, in the quiet moments, in my closet, in my house, in my backyard, my front yard, while I'm at the ball game, I can go to God myself. Woo! Hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Oh. Satan, he ensnares us in one of three ways. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's one way Satan gets us. The lust of the eyes, it's another way he gets us. The boastful pride of life. Yeah, we got to be seen. We got to be important. And boy, that trips us up a lot of times, you know. It trips us up. And he says, it's not from the Father. He says, but it's of the world. It's worldly. That's Jesus trying to get us. Yeah. The world is passing away. Also is lust, but the one who does, notice, it's the one who does them. Okay, that ain't that big of no deal. I don't care what you say. That ain't that big of no deal. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Essential teaching. Colossians 3:17, we'll put it this way. Whatever you do, actions, in words, speech, or deed, actions, do everything. Do some things. It says do everything in the name of the Lord, or by the authority. Who has all the authority? Whose words do we listen to? Giving thanks through him to God the Father. One profound thing that Jesus says before he leaves in his teaching while he was on earth comes from Matthew 7:21. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. And this scripture here is, you got to hear what he's saying. See, Jesus recognized then there are folk who will hear the word. There are folk who talk religion. There are folk who talk God, who talk piety, who talk faithfulness, who talk the scriptures, who quote the scriptures, who read the scriptures. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Question, do you want to go to heaven? But he that does the will, he that does the will, who follows the teaching. Who is in heaven will enter. He said, that's the one who's entered. Then he gets very scary. And I'm going to end with this. That's why I say this is fundamental, foundational teaching. He says, many will say to me on that day. What day you think that is? That's when there won't be any more days after that. There'll be days, but it'll be eternal days. He says, many gonna say to me, And it's like Jesus, people are going to be making a case at judgment. He said, they're going to say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Notice this now. These are not people who don't know God. These are people who definitely know the scriptures, because it says they prophesy. This is going to be preachers. This is going to be teachers. This is going to be Bible school teachers. This is going to be some folk. He says, in your name, have we prophesied in your name? We use your name, Lord. Have we, he says, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. He says, and then I will declare, Jesus says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Leave me who practice lawlessness. You see why we stress according to the scriptures? You see why? See, I keep referring to the scriptures because that's God's word. It is his teachings. You remember what Jesus says? He says, you've heard that it's been said unto you. The Pharisees might have said this to you. They might have taught you their will. Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 says, for in vain they do worship me. What are they doing? Teaching for doctrine. They were teaching, but see, doctrine is taught belief. Teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. He says, they might have said something to you, but what they're saying is not what was written to you. And we need to obey the written word. But I understand what you're saying. But you know, okay, but you know what? Followed by, you need to, when you say, but you know, you need to say, it's found in the scriptures. He says, who practice lawlessness, who do not follow the written law. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. All authority is given to Jesus. And what we need to be trying to do our best is understanding the law of Christ and following it. That's what we need to be trying to do. That's why we stay, keep studying. I don't claim to know everything. And that's why I don't want to make a mistake at this. But some teaching is quite clear. And then Jesus finally, he says this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. I'm reaching. The word is reaching. The word is reaching, trying to reach somebody right now. It says, the one who loves father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. And that's simply saying, you know, father and mother are probably the most important people in our lives. You know, our daddy, how we were raised. I thank God for my mom and my dad. He said, but your father and mother are not Jesus and they're not God. And they're certainly not the scriptures. And our parents can be wrong. Our parents can be wrong. I hate to admit it. You know, when I got old enough to understand, to realize, daddy, when my daddy did something wrong, when mama said something that wasn't, have you ever been around your parents? I didn't come from, well, I guess I better not tell all my business. You ever been around some? They never curse. They never curse. If you don't be around nobody, never curse. And all of a sudden they curse, and you hear cursing words, say, he's not Bo be saying that. And Jesus says, and he's not telling us to hate our parents, but this is one, brothers, this is one, sisters, this is one young lady, this is one young man that you need to stand on your own. He says, you father, you say, well, my mama, my daddy, my grandmother. No, Jesus says, no. He says, in Matthew, in Acts 12, in verse 48, says, he that rejects my word, these same words are going to judge you in the last day. And so then he goes on to say, is not worthy of me. And the one who loves his son or daughter more than me is not. Some of us, you know what's going to happen? Let me say it in a kind way. Some of us that's older, that got these children, that's running us, you know. Sometimes we love them so much, and they just running us. What they want, what they do. We trying to please them. I want my children to have better than me. Well, I understand that, you know. I understand what you're trying to say. But you go all out your way doing all this for your children, and you spoil the children, and they grow up. They don't appreciate nothing. Amen, somebody? And then they get a boyfriend, they get a girlfriend, and they act like you don't know nothing. Stop listening to you. Some of us, don't you let your children separate your relationship with God. Amen. Yeah, thank God none of my children in jail right now. Some of us have children in jail. If they're in jail, Brother Ed, if they're in jail, I guess I'm going to have to visit them sometime. I guess I am. I mean, I love them. You know, I guess I'm going to visit them. But, Lord, I can't sell my soul for the children. Some folks stop coming to church. And I'm not saying coming to church is going to get you to heaven. Just coming to church. But some of us, we turn our backs on God. Why this happening to me? Everything is not cut. He says, the one that does not take up his cross. We got different crosses. See, if you're in a home where everybody's baptized, everybody's in Christ, you need to say, praise the Lord. You don't have that cross. But some folk have that cross. Some folk have some folks that are individuals that are in other quote-unquote faiths that don't teach. The teaching does not line up with the laws of Christ. It's not that they're not good people, but see, this is one that you have to decide for yourself. Is am I what I've done to be ordered to be saved? Am I following Christ? Am I following Christ's teaching? This is a decision for you. That's why Jesus says, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And so I would say to you, take up your cross and follow after him. He says he's not worthy. The one who is Then he goes on to say, the one who has found his life will lose it. Some people just want to be comfortable. I just don't want no conflict. Well, conflict is in the world because the devil is in the world. You're going to have some conflict. You're going to have to stand for something sooner or later. Some folks, I just don't want, let them do what they're doing. And I do, well, you need to do what you're going to do and follow God. He says, the one who's found his life, he said, you're going to lose it. And the one who's lost his life. And see, when you lose your life for Christ, you really found your life. He said, we'll find it. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. All authority is given unto Jesus Christ. He gave the charge to his apostles on Matthew chapter 28. After he told them, all authority has been given unto me, heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore and teach all that. We are lifelong students. All of us. But girl, you act like you know everything. If I come off that way, I don't mean to. Because I certainly don't know everything. If there's something that we differ in that we need to talk about, let's talk about it. But don't be saying, well, I just believe. You got to have more than just believe. Because what you need to bring to me is the scriptures. And let's talk about the scriptures. Because your opinion and my opinion don't need mean anything. He says, go ye therefore teach all nations. He says, baptize. That's why, see, you don't know everything when you're baptized. I'm trying to get somebody baptized. I'm trying to reach for those of us that's been baptized into Jesus Christ. And see, you ought to feel good that you're baptized, but you ought not rest. Because you're not in heaven even after you're baptized. But you got to get in the water. Why is the water so important? But it's because Jesus said it was. He says, teach them, baptize them. He says, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how you baptize. If you haven't been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you haven't been baptized. In Acts chapter 19, you had 12 men who had been baptized, but they hadn't heard of the Holy Spirit. I've been baptized before. Did you know what you were doing? Were you taught right? If you were taught wrong, you can't be baptized right. And these individuals, they got rebaptized after they were taught about the Holy Spirit. They were baptized again. You read Acts chapter 19. And then he says, after they baptize and them teaching to observe everything I've commanded you. And so, and that's, we read some of the commandments and not nearly all of them. That's why we students. That's why we had a baptism last week, the week before. I hope we have a baptism even today we're called it. Jesus says, excuse me, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You don't get baptized after you've heard the word, hear the message. What message? The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came, he lived, he died for all of our sins. Luke 13:3-5, Jesus said this himself. He says, I tell you nay, but except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. Some folk get baptized, they don't even mention repentance. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, first of all, you got to change your heart about sin. That's repentance. Turning from sin, turning to God. Well, now, brother, it's all about faith. No, it is about faith, but it's more than just faith. Anybody can get baptized. You get baptized, and like, oh, I'm saved. And you go, you say, well, I'm saved, but I'm going to still keep doing what I'm doing. I've been hooking and crooking folks. I've been lying. I've been cheating on my wife. And you get, that's just me. That's my weakness. You haven't repented. Oh, well, you talking about sin like that? Don't nobody talk about sin like that. Sin is all in the Bible. Sin is why Jesus came and died for all of our sins. You confess with your mouth what your heart believes. Nobody confess for you. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So then you're baptized. That's how they did it in the Bible, according to the scriptures. That was God's plan, God alone. Jesus has all authority. That's what he gave to the apostles. They gave it to us, and we're just teaching it over and over again. And after you're baptized, God alone puts you in the kingdom of God. Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He adds to the church. Which church did? See, the scripture only talks about one church. God adds every soul that's baptized, does it his way. He adds us to. And I know there are numerous churches. There are numerous churches with different teachings and different doctrine. That's why we try to stay with the word. We certainly don't think we're any better than anybody else. But you got to be in the Lord's church. And if you don't do it the Lord's way, you're not added to the Lord's church. That's why Jesus said, many in that day. Oh, Brookie, that just sounds so, you know, you trying to send everybody. Well, hold up now. Don't say that. Don't put nothing on me that I haven't said. I'm not trying to put nobody nowhere. I'm just telling you what the Lord, what Jesus said. Jesus said this one. He says, all power on heaven and earth is given unto me. I know I'm going over time, but just stay with me for just a minute. He said, all authority has been given unto me on the heaven. He says, I'm telling you this. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will. Now, that's clear. That's beyond interpretation. Why are you getting mad at me for saying it? And you understand that. And Jesus is not trying to put everybody, but it's a hard-headed person who would listen to Jesus, read his words, and still say, I'm going to take my chances. And I'm going to do it my way. So it's not about your religion. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about what you will obey. And when we've obeyed God. We've done it his way. My goodness. Yes. And so with all the love we have, we want somebody to obey the gospel. We want somebody to come to Christ. Some of us that are out of relationship with Christ, sometimes we just forget. We get sidetracked. The devil gets us so busy, sidetracked, and we just lose our way, fall out, stop coming to church, stop praying, stop reading the Bible. Forget, is it life just too tough? Life will beat you down. But if you're still alive, if you're listening to this right now, can't you say God is good? Can't you say, I thank you, Brother Gary. Not thank you, Gary, for just preaching, teaching the word of God and reminding me. I need to obey Jesus because it's devils out there. Oh, Lord. People discourage you. Sometimes they're right in your own house. Somebody come to Jesus today. Right now, as we sing. Bless you.
follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.